and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's feeling all right, doing well. We got a heck of a lot of news to get to. Some very big things happening right now, including the long-awaited and extremely controversial interview between Tucker Carlson and Mike Huckabee. We'll be checking in on Tuck and Mike here in just a second. But just massive news across the board, including the tariffs and the fallout from that and the lucky bets made by certain members of the Trump administration that are allowing them to make billions off of their own policies. Isn't that convenient? So a lot to talk about. I'm going to try to take your calls, but frankly, no promises. We're going to play it by ear, but we're going to be joined in the third hour by Tiffany Cianci. Our bubbly little fairy of doom will, I'm sure, grace us with all sorts of just horrifying headlines about how private equity is systematically destroying everything good in the world. So it's always fun and very informative when she's here. And I'll try to open up the phone lines in the second hour, but we got so much news and a lot of clips to get to. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 20th of February, 2026. Caltech Astro, what the heck? That's not my story. I don't know what these are. Here you go. Supreme Court rules most of Donald Trump's tariffs are illegal. The U.S. Supreme Court on Friday overturned most of President Donald Trump's tariffs, which could lead to more than $175 billion in tariff refunds for American companies. In a 6-3 decision, the justices ruled that the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the law that the Trump administration used to justify his many sweeping global tariffs, does not grant the president the power of taxation, and tariffs are a form of tax on imports. We'll, again, get more into this a little bit later, but that's not good news. Some more not good economic news. U.S. economic growth weaker than thought in fourth quarter with government shutdown, consumer pullback. The nation's gross domestic product, the total output of goods and services, increased at a 1.4% annual rate in the fourth quarter. The Commerce Department reported Friday, down from 4.4% in the July-September quarter and 3.8% in the quarter before that. The figures point to a more modest pace of growth in the coming quarters as consumers take on more debt and cut back on saving to maintain their spending. Oh yeah, we'll get back into that as well. We're gonna probably go into the next segment and talk about just the general collapse of America and the number of ways it's manifesting economically is just one of them. Meanwhile, Trump vows to release classified documents on aliens after saying Obama's comments were quote classified. After accusing the former president of confirming aliens exist, President Donald Trump has announced that he will be releasing government records related to aliens and any unidentified flying objects. Which, okay, great. Yeah, that's fine. Do that now. Do that now. See how that works. I mean, I feel like they're getting a little desperate. Trump says he'll decide whether to bomb Iran in the next 10 to 15 days. Great. We'll await that decision. We'll report more on that later, but of course, it's not going to be the simple matter it was last June, especially with headlines like this. NORAD intercepts Russian planes near Alaska. The North American Aerospace Defense Command detected, tracked, and intercepted two Russian Tu-95 bomber planes, two Su-35 fighter planes, and one A-50 spy plane until they departed the Alaskan ADIZ. The defense agency launched two F-16s and two F-35s and four KC-135s to complete the mission. So we had to scramble to deal with Russian jets in our airspace over Alaska. Finally, hundreds of U.S. troops have been evacuated from El Udeid airbase in Qatar. Hundreds of troops have been evacuated from the airbase in Qatar. The New York Times reported this, citing sources at the Pentagon who noted that forces are also being evacuated from U.S. bases in Bahrain. A senior Pentagon official added that American forces would be a greater risk if the U.S. were to initiate the strike and not Israel. But I think no matter what, Iran is sending a very clear message that every American asset in the region is on the table as soon as hostilities break out. We'll be right back.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a big show for you today, and I think we'll start with a sort of follow-up to a story we covered yesterday. We, of course, were reacting to the full deposition of Les Wexner, and a very curious instance when his lawyer leaned over and said, "I will effing kill you if you answer like that again." Little weird, little bizarre, little odd. And it was kind of such a strange thing just to hear and try to be like, wait, is this a real threat? Is he just talking like that? Like, what an odd thing to say. We didn't even ask, like, what was that in a response? What was that in response to? Why did he say that at that point? Like, what did Les Wexner say that inspired his lawyer to say, if you answer like that again, I will kill you? And so we have an answer for this. Clip 30. Very interesting observation of what exactly he was saying when he was, jokingly or not, threatened with his life. Let's watch clip number 30 now.
I just found out why Les Wexner's lawyer said this. Because just before that, he was saying all of this. And I mean, get ready, because this is wild.
I talked to Ellie de Rothschild, and so I mentioned that earlier.
For context, he's about to be talking about Jeffrey right here.
He represented their whole family, so there have been a whole bunch of people that, I mean, most of them I never would have met, but I knew LA. But there were people that called me that either insinuated or said they knew Jeffrey through a financial relationship. And so, I mean, they could have been actors, but at the time, a guy calls me up. I'll give you an example.
His attorney tries to stop him right here.
No, because I want you to understand this. It's so confusing to me. He would say, like, I'm providing financial advice to the founders of Google. I'm providing financial advice to Jeff Bezos. I'm providing financial advice of the chief technologist at Google. Wow, I'm in good company, because these are really smart guys with a lot of money.
This is the best case scenario, really. They're all going after each other now. They're going after each other because they're throwing each other under the bus. And then they have nothing to lose, so they just say everything, because they know it doesn't matter if they don't say anything. He knows it doesn't matter if his attorney does what he says he's going to do. I mean, this guy's old anyway. This guy just name-dropped Jeffrey Epstein with the likes of Google, Jeff Bezos, and the Rothschilds. Yeah, I'd say he's probably in a situation where he knows that he has nothing to lose. And the thing with monsters is that they eat each other. Like and follow for more videos like this one.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Name-dropping the Rothschilds, Jeff Bezos, and the head of Google right before his lawyer tells him, answer like that again and I'll effing kill you. Very, very interesting. Very interesting, in my opinion. And again, we're not going to spend the whole show on Jeffrey Epstein. I'm kind of sick of it at this point. It's been 2 weeks since the files were released. It's been 2 weeks, right? That sounded wrong when I said it. I feel like it's been 10 years. But let's go to clip 15 here, because this is Mike Benz breaking down how, well, really, the Trump administration, again, should have just owned this from the beginning. They should have been the ones releasing the Epstein files on purpose. And, but almost in like a serendipitous, I don't know, miraculous kind of way, by forcing Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie to write a bill over this, it really made it a lot worse for the people that were trying to keep it quiet. Let's go to clip number 15 now.
I do think that there was a miscalculation about this, and the staying power of the Epstein story is going to eventually force more concessions, as it already has through this bill. I think about this. Nobody wanted to be the one. Nobody wanted to be the Thomas Massie who has their whole career thrown up in the air, you know, getting primaried and hit pieces and, you know, disavowed, and then Marjorie Taylor Greene feeling like she had to drop out of Congress altogether over this. Nobody wanted to be the one to sponsor the bill, but nobody wanted to be the one to go against it once it was already sponsored. So you had the situation where everybody feared the higher power centers of the party to not sponsor that bill. But once the bill was sponsored and live to be voted on, everybody feared the base, that if they voted against it, they'd be voted out and it'd be held over their heads forever. And so the mere act of sponsoring the bill put the establishment in a bind. They would normally, obey donors or obey, you know, top-down directives. But once the bill was live and they had to answer forever how they voted on that bill, they were put to a point, and 427-1, it passed in the House and 99-0 in the Senate. So nobody was willing to bring it, but then once it was brought, nobody was willing to oppose it. The same thing can be done with all of this. I think that this is one of these moments where if you can use that same strategy, you could do that, in theory, not just for the CIA and State Department files around Epstein. Who's going to vote against CIA declassification of COVID-19? All records, responsive to, you know, bioweapons research, the CIA, ODNI, DIA, NSA, all of that. Do it with Fast and Furious. Do it with Seth Rich's laptop. I'm inspired by what Thomas Massie has done, and given that, you know, they've already pulled. Right. It's easy from the crowd to say this. I know this. I'm sure that when Thomas Massie walks back to his car at night or something, you know, he wonders, you know, okay, like, did I say too much today? But the fact is he's just opened the door to a very revealing phenomenon, which is that our elected representatives, at the end of the day, feared the base more than they feared the top of the pyramid on this.
Yeah, so that is very interesting. And again, another victory for the info war and the true, you know, populist movement around the world. And really, they've been hoisted by their own petard. Their constant double dealing and backstabbing and double speak is finally caught up to them. And they're kind of between a rock and a hard place and can't figure out a way to get out. It was too convenient to use the Epstein files as a, you know, political short-term football. And now they don't know what the hell to do on either side. And I think their solution to this turns out to be starting World War III. So we'll get to that in just a second. There's so many different ways to go. I think what I'll do is go to clip 10 here, and let me know when we can go to these videos. This is because this is also Mike Benz, and from the same interview from Tucker Carlson, and he's talking about what has led us to this point and the open conspiracy, the criminal cabal centered around Obama that is basically solely responsible for the last 10 years of division and political chaos in this country. And some pretty astonishing news has come out about this recently, despite the fact that the events are 10 years old. The news is breaking. Let's go to clip number 10 here. This is Mike Benz talking about sort of what has led us to where we are now. Let's watch.
The exact group behind the Transition Integrity Project, which explicitly plotted in the height of the George Floyd riots, ran a war game about how the Biden campaign, in case Trump won in a clear win scenario, clear Trump win was the name of their scenario, scenario three, this is in June 2020, how the Biden campaign could get racial justice activists from these riots to be, quote, receptive to a Biden call to take to the streets, and plotted what needed to be done to resource them and to cultivate relationships with Black Lives Matter's senior leadership and community leaders so that they would owe the Biden administration favors in case they need to be called on. And lo and behold, who pays them $50 billion? The Chamber of Commerce then flooded them with $50 billion in contributions. You remember that? All the different Chamber of Commerce companies just flooded billions of dollars of donations to BLM.
To destroy our country.
So again, it's really hard to overstate the damage that was done to us by the Biden administration. I don't think you can overstate it. And I'm just thinking of all, by opening the border, the Afghanistan withdrawal, again, like tons of refugees from that debacle. But all of that came 4 years after the Russiagate collusion hoax. I mean, Black Lives Matter, the racial crap we've had to go through, the rise in murder rates that occurred after defund the police, the discrimination that an entire generation of white males has faced as a consequence of the Black Lives Matter agenda, which is just means that, I mean, we will literally never know the true level of damage that's been done to us because we have nothing to compare it to. We can't observe the other timeline where all of this crap didn't happen, where a generation of young white guys wasn't deliberately kept out of the corporate world, where we didn't open up the border to 20 to 30 million illegal immigrants in 4 years. We can only imagine what condition we would be in if all of this stuff hadn't happened. But it all goes back to Obama, the CIA, Russiagate, and everything flows downstream from that. And of course, all of that was in service of the war with Russia that had been planned for decades and that they had to pull pretty, you know, amazing things off in order to stop Trump from getting in the way of their plans. The story is from @RealRobert on X. Here it is. Documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act confirm Barack Obama's deadline, November 8th, 2016, for the overthrow of the U.S. government, a high-ranking State Department official memo unearthed through open records litigation by the conservative group Citizens United. If there was ever an admission that obliterates Barack Obama's secret warrant to surveil Donald Trump's campaign, it sat buried for years in the files of a high-ranking State Department official. Deputy Assistant Director of State Kathleen Kavalek's written account of her October 11, 2016 meeting with FBI informant Christopher Steele shows that the Hillary Clinton campaign-funded British intelligence operative admitted that his research was political and facing an Election Day deadline. That confession occurred just 10 days before the FBI used Steele's now piece of garbage dossier to justify securing a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act FISA warrant to surveil former President Trump's campaign advisor Carter Page and for the campaign's ties to Russia. Steele's client, Hillary Clinton, quote, is keen to see this information come to light prior to November 8th, the date of the 2016 election. Kavalek wrote in a typed summary of her meeting with Steele and Tatiana Duran, a colleague from Steele's Orbis security firm. Christopher Wray, FBI, released unredacted portions of Kavalek's memo, show she emailed 2 days after meeting Steele. You may already have this information, but wanted to pass it on just in case. Recipients' names, subject line, and attachments were redacted under National Security Act. The visible sentences indicate officials suspected Steele's motives were political, noting, quote, Orbis undertook the investigation into the Russia-Trump connection at the behest of an institution he declined to identify and that had been hacked. Now it's the DNC. In other words, the FBI, under Director Christopher Wray, classified the document as secret, and even worse, added this hopeful note, declassify on 12/31/2041. That would be 25 freaking years after the 2016 election. These notes provide written proof that the Obama administration knew of Barack Obama's treasonous motive on Election Day and Election Day deadline before the FISA, before FBI obtained a FISA warrant. Okay, do we understand? Do we understand what it's saying? That on October 11th, 2016, there were meetings from an FBI. There are notes from an FBI meeting with Chris Steele, Tatiana Duran of Orbis Security, where they noted that the Christopher Steele dossier, the Russia that kicked off and was the predicate for the Russiagate collusion hoax, all of the spying that went on, was known to be have been created with a political motivation. Not out of genuine concern for the national security of America, but rather as a political ploy by the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. And that despite knowing that, and you understand, like if they know that this was, that this information was gathered as part of a political hit job, then it's not valid or, you know, extremely questionable when it comes to using it to get warrants or anything of the sort, right? Because that's not a predicate that you want to start. You don't want to start using the DOJ to go after your political opponents by just going to their political opponents and say, give us whatever dirt you made up about this person, and then we'll use that to spy on the people with the assumption that they would find something. Remember, all of this was done with the assumption that Hillary Clinton would be elected and they would be able to cover up all of their malfeasance and they'd be able to use the warrants to spy on the Trump campaign to get dirt to keep him out of office or to screw him up once he was in office. Now, there wasn't actually any dirt to find, so that sort of messed up their whole operation. And then Donald Trump won, and that really put him into a tailspin. But now, nearly a decade later, we have undeniable proof, firsthand accounts from prior to the 2016 election, where it was acknowledged by everybody involved that they knew the source of the Christopher Steele dossier and used it illegally to obtain FISA warrants. Background: Orbis undertook the investigation into Russia/Trump connection at the behest of an institution he declined to identify and has been hacked. It's either the DNC or Hillary Clinton, but tomato, tomato, right? The institution approached them based on the recommendation of Glenn Simpson and Peter Fritsch, specialist in economic crime, formerly of the Wall Street Journal, and is keen to see this information come to light prior to November 8th. Orbis undertook this investigation in June of 2016. So right after Donald Trump got the candidacy for the Republicans, yeah, they launched the fake investigation, fraudulent dossier in order to spy on the Trump campaign. Again, you know, I wish Democrats and our fellow Americans were capable of taking this in and understanding it and what it really means, because we keep hearing them expound and pontificate on their deep love of the American system and the horror that grips their heart if they even imagine somebody like Trump using the incredible powers of the United States presidency to benefit himself or his own political party. They keep telling us over and over again how they oppose that sort of thing on principle, and how, frankly, when that is the threat, anything is justified in trying to stop it. It's the death of democracy, after all, to imagine a president of the United States using the Department of Justice for naked political gain. It's unconscionable. It's unimaginable. Okay, that happened. It just happened under Obama. Do you still care about it? Or do you not care about anything and you're just pretending to have principles or beliefs at all because it's immediately convenient in going after Trump. I genuinely want to know. Because if what they've been shouting from the rooftops for the last 10 years has even an inkling of truth to it, sincerity to it, then they would be outraged at this and calling for blood. But they're not, because they're liars. And we are the only ones still to this day that actually genuinely care about the corruption in our country and the just flagrant misuse of presidential powers by the Democrats, which is very sad, which is a very sad thing when this affects all of us, and we should all be able to unify in opposition to the actuality of the imagined threat of the Democrats. Democrats are always imagining and fantasizing about a world that doesn't exist, in which Trump does things that Obama did for a decade. Can we please just care about the actual thing, for the love of God? But no, that's not actually going to happen. Now I want to go to clip number, let's go to clip number 15 here, just to close this out. And on the other side, I'm going to talk about just the generalized collapse that we're involved in. But for now, let's just remind ourselves who we're dealing with, what we're dealing with, and the psychological paradigm at work in the minds of humanity's enemies. Let's watch clip 15 here.
Leftism requires dehumanization. That is, the dehumanization of large groups of others. For instance, in order to validate abortion, you have to use dehumanizing language and essentially dehumanize the baby in the womb. In order to not have to contend with any right-wing policies or ideas, you can just lump them all into a category and call them Nazis and fascists, dehumanize them, which then makes instances like Charlie Kirk and the killing of anyone to the right of them okay. That's also why they feel so comfortable, you know, DMing people with awful violent threats or name calling, because they've just kind of marked you in the box in their mind as someone that's not human. This obviously stems from a lack of foundation from God. No foundation for inherent human worth. People really exist just to push their agenda or validate themselves and their lifestyle. And that's why there's such little shame around, like, such awful messages. Like, when I was receiving awful messages for, like, 3 days straight, just heinous death threats, awful comments, and I, you know, would maybe call them out on it, it would be like, there's no shame. There's no standard they hold themselves to, because, again, if you are going against their agenda, if you are threatening their lifestyle, if you are threatening them being in power, nothing's off limits to them. You would think that if they were the party that truly cared about others, that wanted peace, that was loving and tolerant, then this is not how they would present themselves. That they would present themselves as somebody who could have a conversation, as somebody that, you know, saw other people as human. Because then perhaps other people would take them seriously when they have, you know, ideas on social issues. But really, no one can take you guys seriously as far as policy or anything when this is how you act.
Yeah. And it's all together. And, you know, you would think that there's, like, you know, it would be nuanced. There would be, like, good things about the left and bad things about the left, good things about the right and bad things about the right. But the left is just incompetent, but they're also vicious. They're also dehumanizing. They're also actually the racist ones. And when they get in power, everything gets worse every single time, sometimes in, like, astronomical or catastrophic ways. There's no redeeming quality from the left. The only redeeming thing you could possibly point to is the words they say, because they sound nice, but those are just lies. So really, you're just pointing to another bad thing, the way they lie.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Methylene blue works. It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
just in the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from campaign trail, doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios, and I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's just been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I got to tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, that's all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. I was saying in the last segment, I have these multiple topics I want to get into. And they all relate, but it's almost like I'm trying to find the thread through them, how to present them to you, because there's multiple options. It's like each node connects to every other node in multiple ways. And so what we just heard was about how it is now, as if we needed more evidence, as if it wasn't obvious for the last 9 years already, that the entire Russiagate collusion hoax was just that, and it was centered around Obama, and it was known to be false from the beginning, and that everything they did was predicated on blatant, abject lies that they themselves didn't believe. Like, we knew all of that, but the document we just showed you from October 11th, 2016, lays it out in black and white, excruciating detail, names, dates, times, what they were thinking. So we can sort of start there and look at just the immense damage that's been done to our country from the Rushgate collusion, which leads into the impeachment hoax, which leads into the fraud of the 2020 election, which, of course, is associated with COVID and Black Lives Matter and these riotous conditions, which leads to January 6th and the aggression and tyranny against Trump supporters throughout Biden's administration, which, of course, contained the opening of the floodgates just to completely wreck our country in an irrevocable way. It's a chain of events. It's a series of dominoes falling. One leads directly to the next. And where it's left us is on the cusp of total collapse. While at the same time, sort of putting this all into context and understanding this fully requires that we also acknowledge our immense power, that America is at this moment threatening to go to war with Iran using an unimaginable amount of resources and money and people and equipment. And so you have to understand these things aren't unrelated. They're actually related in a lot of ways. Same reason that we're going to war with Iran was motivating a lot of the same people that were trying to, you know, stop Trump from getting into office and making peace with Russia, right? The plan for World War III, Russia and Europe battling it out with each other over Ukraine while America fights Iran for the sake of Israel. Like, these plans have been long in place, and everything we've talked about up to this point is all in service of these things. But again, it's not enough to understand that America is not doing well. First, we have to understand that we could be. First, you have to understand how materially prosperous we truly are and how militarily powerful we truly are, because only then does our collapse come into focus. It would be easy to think that our collapse is inevitable or accidental, consequence of bad decisions that means everybody's suffering, but that's not the case. The collapse of America for the American people is on purpose. The collapse of the middle class, the collapse of our quality of life, the collapse of the ability of our social services, that's all deliberate, because simultaneous to that, our foreign adventures are funded to the ends of the earth. There's no problem with that. There's no interruption of service there. So it's not a matter of a natural, inevitable, you know, disaster that we have to try to cure or solve or mitigate in some way. These are choices being made, and you should really feel insulted and robbed when you know how much of your tax money is being stolen from you and you're not getting crap for it. And we're about to go to war with Iran and they're not even pretending that you're going to benefit for it. We're going to get into all that. So again, I have so much about Iran. I have so much about Israel. I have the Tucker Carlson, Mike Huckabee thing. I've got Trump giving statements. Some of the statements he makes are about the Middle East, but it's also about the tariffs. But it's all related. But these are all like deeply, deeply intertwined. And I'm trying to get that across here. Let's go to clip 48 here, just to lay the groundwork once again to understand truly how powerful, prosperous, and incredible the United States is. And then we'll compare that to, you know, the quality of life of our average citizen. But first, just a reminder of who we are. Let's watch.
We have the number one military in the world, but I don't think people really understand what that means. We have the number one Air Force in the world. Do you know what the number two Air Force in the world is?
China.
The United States Navy. Number three, China or Russia, if you believe their numbers. Number four/five, Space Force. Three of the top five air forces in the entire world are us. The number one Navy in the world, us. Number four Navy in the world, us, our Coast Guard. And this doesn't have anything to say the 150 million Americans that are hunters. We're so much more powerful than anybody else. We're so, so, so much more powerful. We've been robbed, hollowed out by trillions of dollars, and still, nobody knows this.
Right.
Any other nation in the history of the world would have collapsed multiple times over. What our enemies, and this is just what I think, our enemies figured out that they can't beat us. in traditional military matters. There's something called fifth-generation warfare. It's psychological warfare. It's about depression and demoralization. Turn your children against their parents. Turn the women against the men. Turn the races against each other. And then allow moral decay to happen, where all of us should be together and just marveling at this incredible society that we've built. And go on TV, go online. It's civil war, blacks and whites, men and women, gays and straights. Then come out here into the real world.
Right.
Is any of that? Do you see any of it? Have you been in a restaurant? It's nonstop diversity. Everybody's chill. Everybody's cool. It's none of that. There's a huge schism between what they're telling us and how life really is. That's warfare.
So in one regard, he's exactly right. Like, I pretty much don't disagree with him about anything that he's saying. However, the very end there, I think he's a little bit off. I mean, to a certain degree, he's right, right? You can go online and it looks like flame wars and dumpster fires. And then you go outside and it's all crickets and sunshine. So, you know, I get what he's saying. But at the same time, the outrage and the anger and the fury and the chaos and the just unsettledness that people are feeling is very real. And it's not some small thing. Yeah, Gerard Michaels, that's who this was. Why no country can defeat the U.S. in a real war. Again, he's exactly right. And he's definitely right about the fact that America can't be beat unless we beat ourselves. Unless we defeat ourselves, we cannot be defeated. However, we're defeating ourselves. We are being defeated internally. And the average American needs to wake up to this and not take it. And understand, first and foremost, and this is in contradiction to the demoralization campaign that tells you, oh, everything's terrible, it's only getting worse, and there are forces beyond your control. The reality is the exact opposite. The reality is that these bad conditions aren't something that just happen and that nobody can stop and that people in power are trying to, you know, fight back against, but gosh, just, you know, impossible. No, no, these are choices made. These are deliberate attacks against you. The quality of life for you going down is the desired outcome of the people putting the policies into place. You need to understand that. And I've said this same refrain for years on end, talking about how things don't just happen. It's sort of the first step of being a conspiracy theorist, is when you look around and you realize nobody in my neighborhood looks like me or even speaks my language. When you look around and think everything is just getting worse and my hometown is unrecognizable, what they want you thinking is, and I better get used to that. What they want you thinking is, and, you know, I better leave, or I better just, you know, try to get my own because, you know, everybody else is doing that. What they don't want you doing is understanding this is an organized attack against you, and that by organizing a counterattack, you can get back to the way things were. One of the most pernicious concepts, sort of just adopted unconsciously, subconsciously by the American people, is this idea that there's a direction that history is going. And it's, you know, put out by the so-called progressives, right? That's what the word means, is that you're progressing in a certain direction. And they sort of act like they really believe that. Like any sort of liberalizing, democratizing policy they can put forward is permanent and it will always remain and it'll only get, you know, bigger and worse from here. Better, I guess, from their perspective. That's not true at all. There's absolutely no, you know, law of nature that says we have to go that way. In fact, the more we progress down the progressive timeline, the worse everything gets. So it's just a matter of recognizing, acknowledging what is pushing us down this road and then consciously opposing these forces. It's not hard. It's just, you have to do it. You have to have the will. We just don't have the will. So let's look at how America is going, shall we? Let's go to clip number 17 here, because this represents the absolute and total breakdown of the fundamental fabric of our society. It represents an end to the social contract as we know it. And again, we are progressing through time in a way where this type of stuff is becoming more and more common, and it will become the norm, if we continue to progress this way. Like, we are on a trajectory right now, but that trajectory is not inevitable. We can change direction at any point by choosing to do so, but we have to choose to do so. And so things are getting worse. This is going to be more and more common, what you're about to hear. And what we have to decide is not to change ourselves and our lives and our point of view to comport with the new horrifying and untenable reality. Rather, we have to seize control of the levers of power and set things right, regardless of who cries about us doing so. So we're going to listen to this recording. It is a 911 dispatch call from a young woman who has been assaulted by an ex-boyfriend, and the ex-boyfriend is trying to break into the house, and the 911 dispatcher says, nothing we can do. Let's watch.
911 emergency. My ex-boyfriend is trying to break into my house. I'm not letting him in, but he's, like, tried to break down the door, and he's trying to break into one of the windows. He put me in the hospital a few weeks ago, and I've been trying to keep him away. I told him I was going to call. He's now trying to break in through the window. He's trying to jimmy it open.
Okay. Do you have anybody else in the house with you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Does he live there?
No, he does not.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have anybody to send out there.
Okay.
You know, obviously, if he comes inside the residence and assaults you, can you ask him to go away, or do you know if he's intoxicated or anything?
I've already asked him. I've already told him I was calling you. He's spoken before, busted down my door, assaulted me.
Is there any way you can safely leave the residence?
No, I can't, because he's blocking pretty much my only way out.
With a vehicle, or?
With a vehicle and with himself on my front door also.
Okay, is there anybody that you can call to come over and help you, or do you have any friends?
He has sat there and destroyed my phone that had all of my contacts in it because I have neighbors, because he's done this. I can't get a hold of my neighbors. I don't know what the phone numbers are. I just had to get a new phone.
Okay. Well, the only thing I can do is give you some advice and call the sheriff's office tomorrow. Obviously, if he comes in and unfortunately has a weapon or is trying to cause you physical harm, that's a different story. You know, the sheriff's office doesn't work up there. I don't have anybody to send.
Okay.
And we don't dispatch for him. Like I said, it's an unfortunate situation.
Okay. But I'll have to take care of myself, I guess.
Well, you have every right to do that. I can't tell you what to do, but is he still there?
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. Well, do you want to stay on the phone with me until we figure out what he's might do, or can you ask him to leave?
I've asked him to leave a million times.
Okay, but he does not live there with you, is that what you're saying?
He does not.
Okay. Has he lived there previously?
No.
Okay. Where is he now?
He's now outside my bedroom window.
Does he know that you're on the phone?
I don't know. If I can hear him screaming and yelling, I think he can hear me on the phone. I told him I was going to.
Okay.
He says he doesn't care. He doesn't care because he knows that no one's out here, and so.
Yeah, and like I said, it's definitely unfortunate. What's his name?
Michael Bella.
B-E-L-L-A?
B-E-L-L-A-H.
And how old is he?
He's 29.
Is he a white male?
Yes.
Do you know if there's anybody with him?
Oh, no, there's no one with him.
When did you guys break up?
We have broken up 5 billion times, and he put me in the hospital a few weeks ago, and I've been trying to keep him away.
Do you have a restraining order?
I do not, because he would leave me alone until basically on the weekends, and then he starts his crap again.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty harrowing stuff. By the way, what is a restraining order going to do? Nothing. The cops aren't showing up. So, you know, what is there to say? Like, I hope you have a gun. I bet the cops show up if gunshots start going off. That might be the only way to get them to respond. You can almost, it's like we're witnessing in real time as civilization collapses. The services that we are accustomed to always be there, we don't even think about it. Like, these things aren't permanent. Like, there's no law that says every time you call 911, somebody's going to come help you. It's what I keep trying to explain. Our civilization built these like amazing things that we just take for granted. But like, as we slip down towards collapse, they're going to go away. And you can almost hear as like the advancements of civilization get pulled back and we return to sort of the status quo of the world before the Enlightenment and all these wonderful systems that we have to protect us, where the dispatcher says, well, do you have any friends? You have any friends? You have a older brother or a father, perhaps, that could come help you? In other words, do you have a tribe? Do you have a clan that will take on your protection? Because as a society, we don't provide for that anymore. And at the same, on the same day that that audio gets released, there's a situation in the UK where a woman at 2:30 in the morning hears somebody trying to get in her house, and she starts filming, and this is what she films, clip number one. This is a woman at 2:30 in the morning in the UK, and this is what she woke up to. Let's watch. Yeah. Weren't expecting that, were you? For our radio listeners, it is a man staring through her window. No, he's just nice, you know, up close and personal with it. And just looking her right in the eyes, dead-eyed, as he's trying to open her door and just staring at her. So, another you know, metaphor for civilization. It's absolutely horrifying. Now imagine being a young woman and calling the cops, going, there's a man staring through my window at me. And they're like, well, call us back in the morning if you survive. So yeah, as our systems break down, you're going to have a clan or a tribe or, you know, self-defense measures. Of course, we're still in this in-between period of anarcho-tyranny, where the cops will not come out to stop the murderer from getting in your house and trying to kill you. But if you kill him, you bet your ass they will charge you with homicide and try to throw you in jail for the rest of your life. Just a little warning for you. As we go to war with Iran, as we send $1 trillion of military equipment to the Middle East, we can't even call 911 and have cops show up to protect young women who are actively being attacked by their ex-boyfriends. We can't keep the lights on, but somehow we have the resources and ability to project power across the entire world for reasons that aren't even pretending are for our benefit. We don't have to take this. There's absolutely no reason that this has to be the situation. Or let's go to clip number two. This is what it's like for, you know, probably most American families, especially if you're in a big city. This is, again, the way our government treats us, its regular citizens, while, meanwhile, Somali daycare fraud is raking in millions of dollars, and we're performing miracles for some reason in Venezuela, attacking Maduro, like, all of our focus is on all of these other things. Meanwhile, this is what it's like for an average American just trying to raise their kids. Clip two.
I'm about to ask what I'm not supposed to ask. Why is one of my children in a class where she's one of four kids that speaks English in math, and she doesn't get to learn math because there's 20 plus other kids who don't know English and the teacher has to accommodate them? And I'm not blaming the teacher. I actually feel really bad for the teachers. Why? Why am I paying property taxes? Why am I paying income tax? Why am I paying taxes for anything for my children to have the right to a free and public education, which, by the way, they constantly are trying to take the ability for us to homeschool and all that stuff away.
to make them go to public school. But then when they go to public school, this is what they get. You don't get to learn math because you know English. So you just don't get to learn math. What?
Again, I've talked endlessly. This is happening in Austin schools as well, where the Afghanistan refugees came in and now they're 90% of the school. And so most of the class day is spent on just teaching these kids English. Meanwhile, the American kids are just not learning anything, are just having years of education wasted, their potential, you know, gutted for life. Because we're serving people that just provide nothing to us. Nothing. Again, it would be different. You know, you talk about a place like Qatar, where 90% of the people who live in Qatar are not Qatari. It's 90% foreigners, 10% natives. But every foreigner who goes to Qatar provides something to them, benefits their society somehow. If all these Afghan refugees were coming in with $1 million and were making their own schools and providing jobs, then great. But no, they bring nothing, and we not only give them everything, give them education, and then, by the way, hire their parents because they're the only ones in the community who can speak the language. So we give them jobs, and we educate their children. Meanwhile, we're paying for all of it, and our kids aren't even getting educated. And this is all on the systemic level. Meanwhile, endless acts of violence and just deconstruction on an individual basis that you won't even hear about because the media is incentivized to cover it up. Let's go to clip number three here. One of like a dozen instances that have happened in the last like 4 days of black people randomly assaulting and killing entire families of white people or white children. Let's go to clip three here.
Hi, quick question for you. Do you know who this is? Do you know who this girl is? No? Well, let me fill you in. This is Alexander Lamar Banks Jr., and he was just arrested in Michigan after he targeted a white family with his car, running over the 3-year-old daughter, then getting out with a shotgun and shooting the parents. Harlow Smith, the 3-year-old daughter, was unfortunately killed in the attack. The parents are both in the hospital, and their condition has stabilized. And if that wasn't bad enough, 72-year-old Barbara heard a commotion outside, so she decided to go and investigate, and upon witnessing this horrific act, went to help the Smith family. Unfortunately for her, she happened to be in Alexander's field of view, and so she became his next victim. Barbara was beaten, bloodied, and concussed, suffering severe head trauma and even bleeding in her brain. She ended up needing emergency brain surgery, and as I record this video, the surgery was a success, but Barbara is unconscious. And the mainstream media won't touch this story with a 10-foot pole. There are reports coming out from residents in Michigan saying they're not even seeing it on their local news. And we all know the reason why. It's because this is the perpetrator, and these are his victims. We all know that if a deranged white man targeted a family because they were black, ran over their child, and then brutally assaulted all of the people in the vicinity.
Yes, of course, it would be a giant story for weeks on end, and we'd have to like overthrow the government or something. It's not okay just to say that anymore. Like, so systemically, we're being destroyed, and there's just a million quotidian examples of just families being ripped apart and murdered, and not even being reported on. And then you have things like this, adult milestones. These are shares of 30-year-olds who have achieved major life milestones, and you can see the collapse.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, store. Hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, Become a VIP for $30 a month. You cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.